All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the afternoon session. It's a hearing today of the Portland City Council. It is the afternoon of August 10th. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman, Udaly, Fritz,
here.
Fish,
here.
Wheeler.
Here. The standard statement on decorum, please do not interrupt people testifying. Please do not interrupt deliberations. Anybody who does will be asked to leave. If you do not leave when you're asked to do so, you can be arrested for trespassing. I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't want that to happen. But those are the council rules. When you testify, please state your name for the record, and we'll get to the rest later. Carla, could you please read the item for this afternoon?
Item 897, appeal of the Goose Hollow Foothills League against Design Commission's decision of approval for design review of a three-building development on two parcels under common ownership on 1.5 blocks in the central city at 817 Southwest 17th Avenue and 1621 Southwest Taylor Street, LU16-273094-DZMAD.
Very good. Thank you. First off, legal counsel will make some announcements about today's hearing.
Good afternoon. I'm Lindley Reese, Chief Deputy City Attorney, and I have some procedural announcements before the beginning of the hearing. First, this is an on-the-record hearing, which means you must limit your testimony to material and issues already in the record. The order of testimony goes as follows. We'll begin with a staff report by Bureau of Development Services staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, we will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant will go first and have 10 minutes to present his case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next, and they will each have 3 minutes. Then the principal opponent, who in this case is the applicant, will have 15 minutes to address City Council and rebut the appellant's presentation. If there is no principal opponent, counsel will move directly to testimony from persons who oppose the appeal. After the principal opponent, counsel will hear from persons who oppose the appeal. Each will have 3 minutes. Finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of opponents to the appeal. The council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the appeal. If it is a tentative vote, counsel will set a future date for adoption of findings and a final vote on the appeal. If the council takes a final vote today, that will conclude the matter. There are several guidelines for an on-the-record hearing that I'd like to announce. First, the evidentiary record is closed. This is an on-the-record hearing, and the hearing is to decide only if the Design Commission made the correct decision based on the evidence that was presented to them. This means you must limit your remarks to arguments based on the record compiled by the Design Commission. You may refer to evidence previously submitted to the Design Commission. You may not submit new evidence that was not submitted to the Design Commission. If your argument includes new evidence or issues, you may be interrupted and reminded you must limit your testimony to the record. The council will not consider new information, and it will be rejected in the council's final decision. Second, if you believe a person who addressed council today improperly presented new evidence or presented a legal argument that relies on evidence not in the record, you may object to that argument. You may object to that by coming and talking to me or talking to staff, and we'll address it with the council. Finally, under state law, only issues raised before the Design Commission may be raised in this appeal to council. If you believe another person has raised issues today that were not raised before Design Commission, you may object to council's consideration of the issue. And finally, the applicant must identify constitutional challenges to conditions of approval today. If they fail to raise constitutional or other issues relating to conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow counsel to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court. And that concludes my remarks.
Very good. Do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest? No council members have declared a conflict of interest. Does anyone present in the chamber wish to... Nobody did. Do any members of the council have ex parte contacts to declare or information gathered outside of this hearing to disclose?
I've walked past the site on numerous occasions.
Commissioner Fritz has walked past the site on numerous occasions. Does anyone present in council chambers wish to ask Commissioner Fritz about the ex parte contact or information she has disclosed? Doesn't look like it. Have any members of the council made any visits to the site involved in this matter other than what Commissioner Fritz has just declared? Do council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin this hearing? Very good. First up is the testimony of the, we'll take the staff report first. Good afternoon. Carl, if you can, you said it for 10 minutes. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Jeff Bitcham.
Tim Herron.
Bureau of Development Services staff. I'll be making, biker breathing too much smoke lately. Should have brought some water in. I have a brief presentation for you today that consists of the following. I'm going to talk about a regulatory framework, the proposal summary. Oh, thank you very much. Project context, appeal summary, and finally, appeal response. This is an appeal of a Type 3 design review with modifications and an adjustment.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Is the screen intentionally blue, or do you have something we don't?
It should have a blue backdrop. I thought that was attractive.
You don't have anything on your screen?
It's just a blue square.
Okay. Yours is too? Okay. Let me try this again. Hold on.
There we go. Thank you.
Good. Okay. So our approval criteria that were found to be met and exceeded by the Design Commission are the Central City Fundamental Design Commission Design Guidelines, the Goose Hollow Design Guidelines, and modification criteria and adjustment criteria. Council must find a nexus between the appeal findings and these approval criteria. It's worth mentioning that there was a concurrent Central City parking review that was rendered, the approval of which was rendered on June 16th by the hearing officer. That allowed motor vehicle access within 75 feet of a light rail alignment. This project was heard for four times before the Design Commission, two design advice requests, and two land use review hearings. Because this is an on-the-record case, only the evidence entered into the record at LUR 1, Land Use Review Hearing 1, on March 23rd, and LUR number 2 on May 4th discussed today. The approval was granted unanimously on May 4th by the Design Commission. The block and a half site is located in Goose Hollow across from Providence Park. It's also fronted by max alignment on Yamhill Street and Southwest 18th. It drops roughly 8 feet to the north. It supports two Oregonian buildings, which will be demolished to make way for the project. It's worth noting that there's some underground parking that underlays both blocks. Some of that will be retained for the project. And as the image shows, it's got frontage on Yamhill, Taylor, Southwest 16th, 17th, and 18th Avenues. We have a three-building mixed-use development that consists of market-rate apartments. So this was pre-IZ, so there's no affordable housing component to this. It's got office and retail on the ground floor, retail everywhere, and then office on the two smaller buildings. The residential tower outlined there in red is 250 feet. The plaza building is 55 feet, and the office tower is 136 feet. There's a public plaza and a mid-block pass-through, which is fully publicly accessible, and that totals about 10,500 square feet of open space. And on-site, below grade, the project parks approximately 500 cars and 700 bikes. Zoning is central commercial with a design overlay, and floor area ratio is 9:1 max. That's 6 to 1 on the base, and then a bonus of 3:1, which they're able to achieve through residential bonus. They're coming in at right around the max FAR of 9:1. Height is a total allowed of 325 feet. That includes 250 feet at the base, 75 feet of bonus. They're proposing 250 feet at height. The image on the top of your screen is a Bureau of Planning and Sustainability rendering that shows a height massing. So the red is what's allowed, and then the blue on top is what's available through bonuses. This is an interesting image. I bring this only because this is from the 2035 Central City Concept Plan. The point in showing it is that the site lies there in red within an area outlined in yellow dashes as an area of quote-unquote more change, meaning that in short, there will be proposed policy changes as a part of 2035 to precipitate development much like the one under appeal today, that is transit-supportive, mixed-use, amenity-rich, and mid to high-rise in character. You'll be seeing more of this next month and into the first quarter of next year. Here's a view of the site, looking at the relatively brutalist buildings that exist on site at Southwest Yamhill and 16th, at Southwest Yamhill and 17th, one block west, and then finally further west on 18th, looking south on Yamhill, or south on 18th, excuse me. In short, the appellant asserts that there were six guidelines that were not met. Those are A2, which is emphasize Portland themes, guideline A51, which is strengthen the identity of the civic station area, B1, which is to reinforce and enhance the pedestrian system, guideline B6, which is to develop weather protection, and guideline C2, which is to promote permanence and quality in design, and finally C4, which is to complement the context of existing buildings. What I'll do real quickly is to walk through how the final findings and decision on the part of the Design Commission found that the project as proposed met these guidelines. On the top of your screen, I've summarized really quickly what those guidelines say, and then below, these are excerpts and the page number from the staff report. So guideline A2 is intended to encourage design responses that manifest context, whether it's indirectly, directly, literally, figuratively, or even metaphorically. In the case of the applicant, this project, the applicant has derived context from three contextual sources: the historic use of the site, which is newspaper making, materials of neighboring buildings, which is brick, concrete, steel, glass, and wood, and a rich sequence of public activity, focal points, pathways, water features, and landscapes that are prevalent throughout the district. Guideline A51 is intended to encourage identity making through a variety of building massing and scale to accentuate station area focal points, which Goose Hollow is. The Civic Station area is a primary focal point for the Goose Hollow area. And to enrich local character with diversity of building character, design detail. In this case, the three building typology, a low rise, mid rise, and high rise palette, pervasive public amenity at the ground level and a rich materials palette are how we're meeting this guideline. Guideline B1 regulates the space outside of the building wall, so this is primarily a public realm guideline. It ensures that sidewalk improvements, sidewalk zones, and additional access is provided on site to enhance public safety and connectivity. In this case, the project is dedicating 2 feet on Southwest 18th, and all standard PBOT required frontage improvements are to be made. Additionally, there'll be on-site access routes that are provided as well. Guideline B6 seeks to ensure that the ground level of buildings be designed to protect the pedestrian from elements. In this case, the ground level is wrapped with not only canopies, but there are recessed building components at primary entrances, which accomplishes guideline quite effectively. Guideline C2 requires that buildings be made to last with materials that meet standards for permanence. It is, again, on page 23. The findings are clear in that the standards are met for permanence with the project materials of brick, cement panel, and accent materials of aluminum storefront, steel, stone, and wood. And finally, guideline C4 encourages design responses that are complementary to context while adding to the local design vocabulary. So it allows you some flexibility and creativity to make a new place, to do it creatively, but to weave in some of the existing context. The project has done this nicely in staff's opinion and in conclusion and final findings and decision through a substantial and diverse amount of human activity brought to a neighborhood focal point, the Civic Stadium station area in this case. And the development reinforces variety and scale and activity and is richly detailed in construction details. So your choices today are to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve the press blocks, to deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve with conditions added, noting that those conditions must be derived from evidence on the record in the two land use review hearings, or finally to grant the appeal and overturn the Design Commission's decision to approve the project, thereby denying the project. And that's the end of staff presentation. Do you have any questions for me?
Not at this time. Good. All right. We'll move on. We may have some further questions. We'll hear from the appellant, please, for 10 minutes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Jerry Powell. I'm the planning chair of the Goose Hollow neighborhood. And apparently the sacrificial lamb here. I've had a handout being given to you that contains most of the text of what I'm also going to tell you. But also some illustrations of what it is that I'm talking about. This appeal is really about a single issue, supported by several of the design guidelines, guidelines A2, A5, B11, C2, C4. Most of them have to do with the way the project fits into the community, not just its immediate community, but into our community of the central city. Some of them also deal with the design concept that the architects used. Now, that's an area that a planner goes very cautiously. But in this case, the design concept, a folded newspaper, seems to have become a driving force for this slab of 200 foot by 250 foot spandrel and glass. I don't have anything against spandrel and glass, but when it takes an acre out of the near view from downtown as well as from the West Hills, that's something that this neighborhood could get concerned about, and in fact does. The neighborhood testified repeatedly that the residential tower was inconsistent with the developed environment in its immediate neighborhood. Some of the Design Commission took issue with that. But in the meantime, three buildings have been approved within 250 feet of the base of this tower that are less than 100 feet tall, and cut back from the sidewalk, at least cut back from the site property lines. In other words,
one second. Carla, now it's blank. Are we gonna come back to him?
There's no picture.
No.
It's just a blank screen.
He doesn't have a PowerPoint. It's
right. So are we gonna have the camera on the gentleman who's testifying?
Oh. I'm not sure where it's on right now. Ours is showing him.
We want to raise your profile.
Thank you, Commissioner.
It's nothing.
Yeah. Well, we can see him. Okay. But if we get back to PowerPoint, we want to be able to see
him. It's on him right now. Excuse me, Mr. Powell. It's
okay. On him. How does he look?
Great.
Can I get this
sure.
time
He looks good in person, too.
Better in person.
The takeaway here is that while, yes, it's an area that's in transition. It's not in a transition away from that sort of mid-rise, human-scale neighborhood that Goose Hollow has in many ways grown to be. The Oregonian building itself, which was a light industrial kind of use, was actually an anachronism that born of the old federal aid secondary highways that bisected Goose Hollow on 18th. That area was supposed to be the light industrial feeder for the businesses in downtown. Well, that never happened. So this is, I think, one of the last, probably the last post-1950 building that was built under that old concept of development. We pointed out that the building, because it went to the edges of its site, and because it was slab-sided and so tall, well, height is really not an issue. Once it got above the skyline, who cares? Well, I didn't say that. The point is that the part that is in front of you is the part that makes the impact. The bearing of the building is simply out of context for the neighborhood. That's the point. The architect's adherence to the folded newspaper seemed to blind them to the public impact of that imposing structure. All of that's in the record. We're also on record as liking the project. Overall, the three building project is a great thing for the neighborhood. Are we a little bit uneasy about some aspects of it? Sure. That's always the case in new development. Do we like the way it confronts the street? Other than the facade of this building that seems to loom over the street? Yeah, very much. The Federation brings this, or Foothills League rather, brings this appeal to the council in our belief that the Design Commission erred in its failure to adequately consider the importance of neighborhood context, permanence in design concept. That has to do with the design concept, and the impact of the proposed development on the very fundamental goals of both Central City Fundamental and Goose Hollow Design Guidelines. Arguably, it's to protect a Portland personality. Hard to define, but it does involve elements of not just built environment, but the natural environment and our community, our social environment. To illustrate that, because it's not an easy concept, well, okay, what is the impact of that square thing have to do with anything?
So Mayor, I'm sorry, Mr. Powell, can you stop his time, please? And I apologize, I had hoped to wait until the end to raise this. It has been brought to my attention that the three photographs in the materials that you've presented are new evidence. And the problem with that is they're pictures of representations of the building, which the applicant doesn't have the opportunity to rebut because it's new evidence and we're not reopening the record. So unless you can demonstrate that those pictures were in the record, one, they need to be disregarded by counsel, and two, you need to not refer to them in your testimony.
Okay, I can do the whole thing verbally, which is what I did in front of the Design Commission.
Okay. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think that's important because we're trying to keep this on the record.
Okay.
So to be clear, just so I understand, I want to make sure we're all in agreement here. You have referred to this verbally previously. You just haven't provided this particular set of photographs in support of what you've said verbally. Is that a fair statement
Correct.
Of your position? So he may continue to refer verbally to he just can't refer to these photographs, but he could talk about the massing that he described. Is that okay? Just to be so I understand what is not okay. Sorry. This isn't taking from your time, Chair. Just so you know.
Yeah. As long as you're not referring, so these are not just photographs. There's renderings that are supposed to be representations, as long as you're not referring to those representations of what the building would look like based on these photographs, I think you're fine. If you're talking about the neighborhood's concerns related to those design guidelines and the massing, okay. I think you're fine.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Then not referring to the photographs.
What photographs?
No photographs here. The proposed residential tower is 250 feet in height, 200 feet wide at the east and west elevations. The nearby buildings range from 40 feet or less to about 75 feet in height at their parapets, setting an effective base from which the proposed residential tower protrudes at about 50 feet. The east elevation, in particular, will be a very large mass, about 200 feet square. That's what you see from downtown. The reason I'm landing on that is that there's a value there. You could look at it as a piece of commons. You could look at it as a piece of economic externality that adds to the value of this city. We do a lot of marketing of downtown Portland as a place to go and open a business. Part of that we market is a relationship between our built environment and the natural environment that surrounds it. If we lose that access, the access to that natural environment, we're giving away public dollars, really. Certainly a public value of some kind that's a lot harder to quantify. We can say something also about giving away height at bridgeheads, but I'm not going to go there.
Mr. Powell, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does your concern about height and scale with these three buildings, do you have the same concerns about the Civic? Being a tower with an affordable housing development adjacent to it, and I'm guessing the Civic is more than 250 feet, although I don't have a map. But would you have the same concerns about that development that you do about this?
It actually is somewhat lower in height. It is a very big slab, and yes, I have some concerns about it. There was something that happened in the course of the approval of the Civic, and that was that because it was proposed by a public agency, it got a lot less review than it might have had otherwise. That's probably regrettable, but it's done. It's there. Is it going to be the start of a new paradigm I think it's actually a 200-footer. I kind of doubt it. There are not that many development opportunities for very tall buildings. Some of those that existed at the beginning of this year have already been approved for buildings that are less than 100 feet tall. For buildings that are have passed through the land use reviews and are now under permit stage, one that's actually under construction, are in that class of building. Human scale has seemed to be the dominant characteristic of new development in Goose Hollow.
That's helpful. And my second question, sir, is, and I'm sure the mayor is not being counted against your time. Thank you. In the opening presentation, it was noted that this development replaces three brutalist buildings, that's a euphemism, that were actually dead buildings in the middle of an area that is being developed and revived. And now we have the prospect of new development in spaces that were dead and, frankly, eyesores from my perspective. If you had the only vote that mattered on the design review commission, and you could dictate a different outcome, how would these three buildings look? I mean, I've read your testimony. I appreciate the concerns you've raised even though you say you concede the balance of the project easily meets the objectives of the two applicable sets of design guidelines. But how would it specifically look different if this was sent back and the view that you've articulated governed the design? What would be different?
Just
very specifically.
The office building would probably look just exactly the same as it does now.
Okay.
Commercial part of the whole block development would probably not change a bit. We like those buildings.
Right.
We like the ground floor of the residential tower. How it would change, or how we would like to see it change,
right,
would be to see that tower achieve a bit more grace. Stepped in perhaps at two or three times in its height. It may even be, I'd be lynched if I said it may be higher, but that could happen. The developer could conceivably capture some of the lost revenue from lost floor area by stepping it in a couple times and making it less of a profile in your face when you're viewing it, by the increased value of the rentable area that's gained.
So I want to apologize for interrupting your flow. This has been enormously helpful, Mayor, for me. And just to be clear, though, on that question, you are not objecting to the height.
No, we aren't.
250 feet.
That's fine. That's fine. Is it tall? Sure, it's tall. Is that a deal breaker? No. It's the mass. It's the bulk of that. Think about 200 by 200. 200. Those are the dimensions of a city block. Think about taking Pioneer Square and putting it up on edge and putting it in front of you. That's a big thing.
Thank you, sir.
And that's it. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Next up, we'll hear from supporters of the appeal. And people will have 3 minutes to testify. If people could just say their name for the record. And if you'd like to sign up, Carla over here is the right place to sign up. Carla, the first three, please.
I have only one person, only Mr. Powell signed up on the support side. So.
Very good. Then we'll get to the principal opponent of the appeal. And I know this gets confusing pretty quickly. If you could come up, you'll have 15 minutes according to the protocol. And again, for everybody who's testifying, I just want to assure people that if we interrupt to ask questions, the clock does stop. So that doesn't take away from your time to testify. Good afternoon.
Good
Welcome.
Afternoon. Do you have the presentation on your screen?
We had it.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Margaret Schroeder. I'm an attorney with Black Helterline, located at 805 Southwest Broadway, Suite 1900, Portland 97205. We represent the applicants, Urban Renaissance Group and Security Properties. I would first like to introduce the members of the project team who are here with me today to help present the project to you and to answer any questions. On my left is Ms. Michelle Scholes with GBD Architects, and on my right is Heidi Oyen with Methuen, the two architectural firms who designed the project. In the audience are Tom Kilbane with Urban Renaissance Group and John Morosco with Security Properties. For all of the reasons set forth in the Design Commission's May 4th, 2017 final decision, the Design Commission unanimously agreed that the project meets or exceeds all applicable approval criteria and design guidelines. Michelle and Heidi will first describe for you the key features of this project and how it complies with all of the design guidelines that are the subject of this appeal, after which I will discuss the factors you should consider in making your decision. Michelle?
The existing concrete Oregonian buildings have provided no pedestrian engagement in the Goose Hollow neighborhood since 19... 19-
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you have something on your screen? I don't know why we're getting this problem today.
We got a warning that it was out of memory, so this computer may not support the graphic.
Have all these graphics been shown at the Design Commission?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we just...
We have hard copies of our presentation, if in case there was a problem.
Let's switch.
Or we have a different laptop.
They have hard copy. Let's see if we can fix this first. Okay, something's coming up here. Thank you. And these documents have been provided previously on the record. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes, all of the images in that have been presented to Design Commission.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
It looks like it's working now.
It's not moving? You know, this is a exceptional handout. I think the council's perfectly pleased to go off the handout.
Sure. Yeah.
Just have
if
the
Carla wants
on.
To keep working on that, go for it. Meanwhile, we'll just if you just tell us which page you're on so we are clear and follow your presentation.
Well, it's easy to figure out where we're at because it's the existing building. So I think it's page 3.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I'll let you know as I'm moving to each slide. I'll try to help you.
You can go ahead and continue. Legal counsel, do you have any problems with us switching to the hard copy? Very good. Please continue, and we'll just use the hard copy.
Okay. Yeah. Starting with page 3. The existing concrete Oregonian buildings have provided no pedestrian engagement in Goose Hollow neighborhood since 1972, creating a desolate streetscape along these two blocks. Next page. The Press Blocks development replaces this desolate streetscape with a transit development that focuses on creating an active streetscape filled with retail and a mix of uses that will create 24/7 activity. Our design opens up the streetscape with a lush mid-block connector that leads you to a much-needed open plaza space in the sunny southwest corner. Next page. As Jeff noted in his presentation, the city's maximum allowable height model illustrates the intended future density of Goose Hollow, modeling height densities that were adopted for this area in 1996. The Press Blocks project maximizes the development to align with the city's vision for the future of Goose Hollow without asking for bonus height allowances. Next page. Although the Press Blocks project maximizes the development density in direct response to the half block and quarter block context typical of Goose Hollow's neighborhood, the design team made the decision to break the massing into 3 smaller buildings. Next page. The design team studied the material character of the Goose Hollow neighborhood, noting the eclectic variety of punched openings, smooth concrete and stucco, as well as smaller corbelled brick. The varying materials used in the Press Blocks development were deliberately chosen to relate to the material context of the Goose Hollow neighborhood. Next page. The development is broken into 3 separate buildings that are all tied together at the ground level by the retail base that exceeds the active use requirements for this site, creating an engaging pedestrian realm. Next page. The proposed massing fits well with the existing context and aligns with the city's vision of the future of Goose Hollow. The press box project was designed to reinforce the design guidelines to create a synergistic development that strengthens a rich pedestrian-friendly environment that has been devoid of these two blocks for so long. Next page. The press block's eight-story office building sits directly west of Providence Park at the corner of Southwest 18th and Yamhill. The office building design draws from the simple punched openings buildings that are seen throughout the Goose Hollow neighborhood. With large open window bays that visually connect the building occupants to the surrounding Goose Hollow neighborhood. Permanent, high-quality materials of thin precast concrete, metal panel, and large fiberglass windows reinforce and enhance the material context of Goose Hollow. Next page. The northwest corner of the building has been designed to enhance the strong connection to the adjacent Providence Park Plaza and Stadium area with large windows and outdoor gathering spaces. Next page. The base of the building at the northwest corner has been pulled back to create a more open and inviting plaza space for pedestrians, as well as give additional buffer from the adjacent MAX train turning onto Yamhill. Next page. A strong retail base wraps the ground floor, providing an active environment for pedestrians to enliven the currently remote Providence Park MAX station and bring additional clientele to foster a stronger business commerce. We have positioned the main office building entry off of the center of Southwest Yamhill, drawing people into this non-vehicular access street. Next page. The infusion of retail activity, lush landscapes, and friendly pedestrian environments will create vibrant pedestrian activity and engagement along Yamhill. Reinforced with a fun, new, custom-painted, Portland-themed pedestrian crosswalk that provides a much safer street crossing at Southwest 17th as you move to the east of the Press Box Plaza building. Next page.
Is that, did you have to get special permission for that, for the different colors in the crosswalk?
From PBOT, yes.
And that was that part of the design review?
It's not part of the design review. It's part of our permit review with PBOT. So we just submitted our 60% review with PBOT. We've been talking with them.
Carla's a miracle worker.
It looks good.
But by the way, thank you for bringing the backup PowerPoint, and also thank you for blowing it up so that people with my eyesight can take full advantage of it. So thank you.
No problem. Okay, well, it was good timing. We can move on to the plaza and residential buildings. So in this view, you can see the new green space of the plaza and the scale and material diversity that the three buildings bring to the neighborhood, with the office building just off the screen to the left. This plan shows the highly active uses throughout the block, which include the publicly accessible, sunny southwest-facing plaza, the creative office and retail structure called the Plaza Building, the residential building containing amenities and retail on the ground floor, and the pedestrian-only mid-block connector that activates even the middle of the block with small live-work units. You should be on the north view now. So from the north, you can see that both buildings are no bigger than a half block, and you can see down the full length of the publicly accessible mid-block connector. A raised terrace on the office level of the plaza building looks down over the open space and activates it. The residential building features a signature roof form that steps down on the west for an amenity roof deck, reducing the scale of the building.
When you say it activates it, what do you mean?
Activating the mid-block connector. So this, let me go back. Are your screens up?
Yeah. Yes.
So off of level two of the office building, we have a terrace, and it's just about 20 feet or 16 to 20 feet off of the mid-block connector, so that activity that's happening on the terrace kind of spills into the mid-block connector. So even though it's kind of double height activity to the mid-block connector.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification.
So then the corner of Yamhill and 17th has a double height open commercial corner and storefront windows marching down 17th with two levels of creative office above. And then this view that we've shown before shows all three buildings along Yamhill. The residential leasing office is on the corner and has an entry from Yamhill that'll be in active use, open 7 days a week. The retail space on Taylor is typical of the storefront design in the block, with deep-set windows and canopies that help encourage a vibrant public realm with cafe seating or other retail uses to activate the sidewalk. And then looking north along the mid-block connector shows the live-work spaces with garage doors allowing activity to spill out. These small spaces with separate living units above can support a variety of small businesses like dance studios or maker spaces. And then this view also hints at a water-themed art piece that I'll talk about later, and then you can see that second office-level terrace there. The Plaza Building's ground floor, restaurant terrace, and balcony reach out into the plaza to further activate the public realm, and this will be a great spot for pre- or post-game festivities. And then a little bit about orientation. The top row shows the wide shadows that are cast by an east-west-oriented residential building, while the bottom row shows in gray the shadows cast by our proposed north-south-oriented building. The red areas indicate the difference of those shadows, so basically showing the areas that would not be in shade compared to the top version. And then after showing these and exhaustive view studies and an early meeting with the design commission, they agreed that the building as designed is in the right orientation and that it doesn't block any protected views. So now I'll go through each appeal design guideline and describe how we meet or exceed its requirements. And we have an error, but that's okay. We'll keep going. You should be on A51. A51 and C4 are similar guidelines in that they require new buildings to complement their context in design vocabulary, proportion, scale, rhythm, and materiality. A51 requires that new buildings respect the mid to high-rise scale of the stadium area. To complement this variety of scale, we've designed three buildings of differing heights, vocabularies, and materials, with no building being larger than a half a block. In our last design review hearing, Design Commission Chair Julie Livingston specifically mentioned that we meet this guideline, saying the project is a sophisticated addition to Goose Hollow. Next page. The guideline also explicitly mentions precedent buildings representing a variety of different eras and styles, such as the Scottish Rite Building, the Hotel Deluxe, the Mac, and the Civic. These buildings and other in Goose Hollow have a variety of punched openings, brick texture, horizontal shadow lines, and articulated bases, as well as a predominance of brick, stucco, and concrete. These neighborhood elements influence the design of all three of our buildings, but specifically the residential building. There's a consistent metal band about 20 to 30 feet above the sidewalk. This is one I wish I could point to. But this differentiates the retail base from the residential above, and we find it in a lot of neighborhood buildings. The retail openings are recessed 2 feet and wrapped with high-quality metal plate. We're also breaking up the retail openings with vertical and horizontal members similar to neighborhood storefronts. And on upper levels, punched window openings and horizontal texture in the cladding complement the neighborhood.
Excuse me one sec. I think we've lost the PowerPoint. Why don't we just bring them back up so that the public can see the presenters? There we go. Well, not this presenter. There we go.
Okay,
I don't want to scare people.
I'm going to move on to B1 and B6 now. So that first page. So these guidelines talk about creating a vibrant pedestrian experience. B1 requires convenient access for walking in differentiated sidewalk zones. So not only have we provided interest along the sidewalks, but we've also widened the sidewalk along 16th and added the pedestrian-only mid-block connector with even more activity for pedestrians. Next page. Technically, Goose Hollow Design Guideline B1-1 replaces the B1 Central City Guideline. More specific to the neighborhood, it calls for providing human scale and interest along walkways, as well as sensitive detailing in spaces like porches or balconies. Our buildings incorporate all of these elements with canopies, overhangs, balconies, and a high level of transparency at storefronts on all streets. Next page. The B6 guideline requires the integration of weather protection. In our design, steel and glass canopies occur roughly 12 feet above the sidewalk to make the scale more intimate to protect the from rain and wind, and to encourage activity on the sidewalk. We consulted a wind expert during design, and they concluded that wind will not be a significant issue, primarily because it's just not an issue in the Goose Hollow neighborhood or rarely a concern, and since balconies, canopies, and trees would slow any wind that does come down the facades. Next page, C2. This guideline requires high-quality, durable materials that promote a sense of permanence. It specifically mentions brick, stone, concrete, metal, and glass. Following neighborhood precedents, we've proposed high-quality materials on all three buildings. The residential building is clad in ultra-high-performance concrete, as well as high-quality window wall and stone at the base. The plaza building is clad with brick, with fiberglass windows, as well as durable metal cladding along the mid-block connector. The office building is clad in precast concrete panels, high-quality metal panel infill, and aluminum storefront windows at the base. These buildings will play off each other and bring diversity to Goose Hollow, but they also share steel and glass canopies and metal storefronts to tie them together. Chair Livingston also complimented us on meeting this specific design guideline, saying our design work is sophisticated with great materials and strong facade patterns. Then the last guideline, A2, on the next page. The last guideline is about emphasizing Portland themes, including water and natural environment. We've incorporated a water-themed art piece in the plaza that's inspired by the historic flow of Tanner Creek, which meandered around the site. The design of the open space on the block responds to this water feature in the form of occupiable seating eddies for the public. Also picking up on this theme is the roof of the plaza building, which will be planted with various colors of sedums in a meandering pattern. And this also follows guideline A2-1, recognizing Tanner Creek.
So this walkway, that's currently in the middle of the block. You own it, right? And so you're going to put a pedestrian easement on it? To a public easement?
It's just open to the public. Uh-huh. Open to the public. Private space, but absolutely intended to be open to the public, and it would have access to the publicly accessible live-work units in it, as well as the entry to the plaza building itself.
Is that element specifically clear in the application, that it's open to the public?
Yes, and absolutely.
An integral part of the concept. I'm just thinking in the future, is somebody going to say, well, this is actually private space and it's...
We've called it the publicly accessible open space throughout the proposal, and the way that the live-work units and the plaza building enter off of it, it's absolutely intended to be public.
Okay, thank you.
So we have one last page. It's the image you've seen in the past, and we really think these new buildings and large amount of publicly accessible open space will become a complementary and truly vibrant transit-oriented mixed-use community that exemplifies the goals of not only the current 2035 plan for the neighborhood, but also the original goals established in 1996. At completion, it will bring 850 jobs and over 500 new residents to Goose Hollow with a wide range of new community amenities and open space that currently doesn't exist. Margaret?
This case demonstrates that the city's design review system works. The project team met with the neighborhood, participated in two design advice meetings and two design commission hearings, and spent countless hours at the design desk responding to concerns and improving the project. The result is a sophisticated design that will transform the press blocks, enhance and embellish the Providence Park MAX station area, and build density where it has been planned since the 1980s, back when Bud Clark was mayor. The appeal purports to be about the design guidelines, but really it's about height. The reason the appellants don't say this outright is because height is not something they can appeal. Both parcels have an outright available base height of 250 feet, with additional available bonuses up to 325 feet. But this project, the residential tower, is only going to go to the base level. The reason these heights are allowed is because this is an area that has been targeted for growth. As the Design Commission's decision explains, it says, quote, key visioning attributes for the Civic Stadium area within which the subject site lies includes upzoning the core of the station area, including the subject site, to the most urban and intense in Goose Hollow and the central city, creating the largest maximum heights and floor area ratios in the Goose Hollow neighborhood and establishing required residential development areas. This means that building height is not something that must be preserved when considering the character of the Goose Hollow neighborhood. We are then left with the design guidelines that the appellants claim were not met, but those claims are not supported by the record. The Design Commission's 38-page decision includes detailed findings on each and every one of the design guidelines cited in the appellant's appeal form. For all of these reasons, we respectfully request that the City Council unanimously deny the appeal and affirm the Design Commission's unanimous decision. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And does that complete your testimony? That's 15 minutes. Good. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Next up, opponents of the appeal. Is there anybody who'd like to speak for 3 minutes?
I show 9 people signed up.
9 people. Very good. First three, please.
Mayor, can I just make a comment?
Commissioner Fish.
There may be 9 or 10 or 15 people or whoever. We would urge that the testimony avoid duplicative comments. And I think in a hearing like this, if there's new information, but simply if it's duplicative, we would even at some point urge that people stand and just acknowledge that they all share a similar view than to hear the same testimony 9 times, particularly in the nature of this hearing where we've heard from one person who's an opponent and we are poised to move at some point to council discussion.
Very good. And again, name for the record.
Okay. The first three are Chelsea Rydell, Tina Wyszynski, and Thomas Cannon, I believe it is, or Carrier.
And I just want to remind everybody, you know, I'm mindful of what Commissioner Fish said, and I'm certainly supportive of it, but this is a legal hearing, and you're entitled to 3 minutes. So just to be very clear. All right, we'll start on that side. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Tina Wyszynski, or Wyszynski. Thank you for the correct pronunciation from my land of my Polish people. I run the Stadium District Business Group, which is located in Goose Hollow, but has boundaries that touch the edges of the Knob Hill area and the Pearl District, as well as the 405, which we will one day cap. Hello, once again. This letter is to strongly encourage approval for the proposed project for the Oregonian Press Blocks. The proposed project more than meets the needs and requirements as set forth in the design guidelines and meets the city's density requirements as well. Compared to the prison-like cement structure building that is currently covered in graffiti as it stands today, the proposed structures and use would be a most welcome improvement. As the founder and president of the Stadium District Business Group, I communicate and deal with residents, business owners, and their various staff members every day. Every individual human I have spoken with regarding this project is in favor of it. It will improve the streetscape, provide housing, and add value to the neighborhood that cannot be quantified. This area is zoned for this, and we need the housing that this project will provide. The Stadium District in Goose Hollow is home to 3 MAC stops. Few, if any, other neighborhoods have this much of a concentration of mass transit. Compared to other high-density zone locations where development is occurring, such as Southeast Division and North Williams, for example, there are few to 0 MAC stops. This is a perfect addition to the area, a needed and long-approved usage, and the size of the building will fit in nicely with the fabric of the neighborhood and business district that currently exist. The other thing I'd like to add real quickly is this looks like a ream of paper, but really it's just all the letters that we've collected over the last 4 design review meetings that I have attended and testified at. These are from members, these are from neighbors, and these are from people doing business. We need this building. We want this building. Please approve it.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Carrier. As someone who lives in the Goose Hollow area and someone that's lived here for my entire life, I would like to share a few thoughts and opinions today. A few different ideas have been brought up. You know, one mainly that this building and set of buildings will affect other areas, not just Goose Hollow. And I do agree with that. I also think that this development will affect different areas, including Central City, in a positive way. The second thing I'd like to say is that there was an idea brought up about affecting the views, you know, maybe from the West Hills, affecting the views from the Goose Hollow area. I'm not disagreeing with the fact that that will happen if it is developed. But I will say that, you know, just as stating a question, maybe that the views might affect, you know, that 500 people that might be living there in a positive way. That number might be greater, have a more positive effect for those 500 people than it would for the amount of negative effect for those that it affect in the West Hills or in the Goose Hollow area. And lastly, I think you know, Portland personality, I think, is a big deal here. And in my opinion, you know, if this development and future developments aren't you know, put through and are not developed, I think that the Goose Hollow area would be falling behind in comparison to other areas within Portland. That's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, afternoon. I'm Chelsea Riedel. I'm the GM at Civic Tap Room, which is about a block from